We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, well, we are awaiting. There we go. I think we got him. Now, Dustin, before we go to him, do we think Ari Wasserman, who covers the college football scene for The Athletic, is he shirt on or shirt off? It's 65 degrees in Dallas. What's your guess, Dustin?
Well, good question. I know he, like me, is dealing with some issues there. But I'm going to get shirt on.
Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I just love how Dustin leaves that hanging out there like he's dealing with some issues right now.
I didn't want to say it on the air, because I don't know if it's out there. So he can say it if he wants to say it.
Hi, Ari.
Well, I hadn't told anybody, but I got COVID. So thanks, Dustin. I appreciate it.
I didn't say it. I held it back. And you're surviving, thankfully, and you're doing better, right? You feeling better?
Yeah, asymptomatic for the most part. So still feeling pretty good.
That's
but
good.
Been locked up in a room here for a little bit. So, but, you know, hanging in there. And when we're talking about issues we might be dealing with, Dustin, I think that COVID is only one of a few that you might have. So we're all trying to take
COVID is low on the list for your boy. Hey, do you have a shirt on today or shirt off?
Shirt off all morning, shirt on right now. Professional for the radio interview.
Wow, we really appreciate that, man. That does mean a lot that you would throw on a shirt for us. All right, Ari, let's start with this. We've got the first round of the college football playoff rankings. And admittedly, I don't really get too excited about the first round, but because of, yes, COVID and everything else going on, I'm intrigued to see what the committee's going to do, not only just with the top four, but like comparing resumes, four games versus eight or nine games. Let's start with this.
Yeah.
Your top four is what? What would be Ari Wasserman's top four in college football?
In order, Alabama 1, 2, Notre Dame, 3, Ohio State, 4, Clemson.
Okay. Do you have – is there any thought to, say, Texas A&M? Does Texas A&M sneak in with that their lone loss being to Alabama, the fact that they beat Florida? Or is it pretty much cut and dried, those four, no big deal?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think like the thing that you said going into this interview about the number of games played being a metric, I think is going to be very interesting and something to track this evening, because I'm very excited to see how they rank teams like Oregon and USC, or, you know, unbeaten teams that we think have a chance to win a conference championship and maybe have a say in the playoff, but also only played two games and haven't looked that sexy doing it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how they rank Indiana. And, you know, there's a lot of different, like, context clues that we're going to get tonight. But in terms of Texas A&M, I mean, I feel like they're kind of close to being dead in the water, because if Florida goes on to win the SEC championship game and beats Alabama, then Alabama, of course, is the better take there over A&M in terms of the second SEC team, if there is a second SEC team. Florida goes as the SEC champ, Alabama goes as an at-large because they're Alabama. And if Alabama wins out, then Texas A&M's best claim to fame, I guess, is beating a two-loss team in Florida, because Florida will have lost to Alabama, and then thus that might not be enough to, you know, just get in because you were fortunate enough to not have to play in a big game. So I don't know if I love the position that they're in, especially considering the fact that there are other teams that are still in play here, especially in the Pac-12 and, you know, group of five teams, whatever you want to say about that. It's just hard to pick a team that had one big game outside of Florida and then lost by 100 and then was fortunate enough to not have to play anybody again so they didn't lose again. So I think this is all the fun of the sport. This is the fun of these radio shows to kind of talk this stuff out in November and try to figure out how where things are going. I think tonight we'll get a lot of context clues about, A, who the committee values, and, B, how we're going to try to play this weird game of chess of how you rank teams that have played seven games versus teams who have played two.
All right, you mentioned the group of five. What do we do with Cincinnati and BYU? These programs, frankly, by the way, they both have an open date. I think they should just play each other and maybe help their chances to get into the playoff. But in terms of those teams, the group of five, and that's an independent with BYU, what do you think about those squads?
What do you think that I think about the big picture long term, or what I think that they should
no,
be?
No, I mean, do they have any chance? Sorry, so short term, do they have a chance at all?
Short term, they have a chance of being in the top eight or seven tonight. No chance, in my opinion, of making the top four. Now, maybe there's catastrophic things that happen. Maybe the Pac-12 doesn't finish their season, or, you know, there's a bunch of one-loss teams. You can come up with scenarios where you might want to, you know, put that in play. But the thing that people have to remember is that this four-team playoff isn't about the group of five teams that don't get in. This four-team playoff and the expansion argument is about the really good one-loss teams that don't get in from the Power Five. I mean, this is an Ohio State show mostly, so let's just use Ohio State as an example. They've been in the discussion or in the mix for being in the playoff every single year dating back to 2014 when they created the playoff, and sometimes they get in and sometimes they don't. But every Sunday, every Selection Sunday, there's some wonder, is this team going to get in? And I think it's a bigger travesty when teams like that don't get in than when a group of five team doesn't get in. So my personal preference would be one day to have an eight-team playoff with Power Five champs and two at-larges and one guaranteed group of five at-large. That would be a way to get everybody involved but also reward the number one seed. I think that would be great. But in terms of how we discuss Cincinnati and BYU in the context of this season, I think they're very good teams. I think they would beat half the Power Five conference teams, but I don't think that they stack up with the Alabamas of the world.
Ari Wasserman, national college football writer for The Athletic, joins us here, Bull and Fox, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. All right, I do want to talk a little Ohio State with you here. The pass defense, well, I mean, it's definitely a concern, and Michael Penix and Ty Freifogel lit them up on Saturday. Is this just more about, well, you know what, they haven't had enough games yet, they've only played four, or is there real concern that not only, you know, hey, some of these guys might not be as good as people want them to be or think they should be, but also the scheme? Like, is Kerry Carr, you know, come under scrutiny for, are they playing enough man? Are they trying to play too much zone? What do you see so far with the Buckeyes through four games?
Well, I see a team that is inherently worse than last year's team. And that's not a knock, because last year's team, in my opinion, was one of the best of all time in Ohio State history, maybe a top five team of all time. So coming into the year, I think we let the hype of Justin Fields' improvement and all the desperation of potentially not having a football season put us in a frame of mind where we thought this was a generational team like last year's team, because that's what Ryan Day described his team to be. And I'm not saying that they aren't good enough to win a national championship. I think they are one of four teams maybe in this year's race that can actually do it. But in terms of whether or not I trust this defense to stop Trevor Lawrence or Mac Jones or Kyle Trask or whoever they end up having to play in the first round of the playoff, I can't say right now with any certainty that I do. I think it's a personnel issue. I think it's a scheme issue. There were a lot of breakdowns where there was one big play I remember in the Indiana game where a corner was playing zone and safety was playing man, and it gave a 40-yard gain. It's like that stuff, I feel like you can clean some of that stuff up, but I think there needs to be a discussion about personnel, especially in terms of the way Marcus Hooker's been playing. So Nick Saban said something last week that I thought was super interesting and I believe to be true. And he said that he thinks the days of winning a national championship in college football because you have a stellar defense is behind you, and this is all about having a dynamic offense that can score 50 points against anybody and having a quarterback who is an NFL draft pick. And I believe that to be true. I think Ohio State can score 40 to 50 points in anybody in college football this year. I just don't know that they can stop anybody in the elite level ranks like the Clemsons of the world or the Alabamas of the world from also scoring 40 points. So I think that, you know, over-unders are going to be crazy in the playoff this year. I think Ohio State has some susceptibilities on defense, but this is all about two things, guys. One, do you have a legitimate NFL quarterback on your team? And because if you've seen in the recent past, the teams who have won the national title do. And two, do you have the talent across the board to hang with the other teams that are similarly talented? And Ohio State has yes to both of those questions. And now it's about whether or not Kerry Combs and this defense can figure something out to improve enough to put themselves in a position to potentially win a playoff game.
All right, you know, a lot of talk about Michigan and Harbaugh and the start to this season and how really he...
Yeah, I mean, I have been, this is it for Harbaugh at Michigan for 2 years, so I think it is. I don't know. I think it should be. Let me put it that way. Whether or not the Michigan administration agrees with me is a completely separate issue. The thing I don't understand about this Michigan thing is the second that the rivalry game with Ohio State became a pipe dream for them, winning that game is when it was over. So I know that it's been an ugly season this year. I know they got beat up by Wisconsin. I know they almost lost to Rutgers. I know they've lost to Indiana by losing pretty convincingly. They don't have it this year. But that's not the alarming thing. Michigan lost a ton of talent from last year and was supposed to be down this year. The thing I don't understand is why it took this to happen for people to realize that there was something missing before this. I mean, it's been abundantly clear based on the lack of identifiable recruiting strategy, a lack of game planning and development from the players they do get, and a lack of competitiveness in the rivalry game for the most part of the last 5 or 6 years, to know that there's something missing. So if it took losing to Indiana to make you think differently about this, then I guess it's a good thing that it happened this year. But in terms of competitiveness in this rivalry, I think that's the metric in which we grade the head coach at Michigan, and I think Jim Harbaugh has fallen vastly short of that. So if I were the AD or I were the president or I was a money bag donor for Michigan, I would be backing up a Brinks truck for a young, energetic, charismatic coach who can build an identifiable recruiting plan, hire a competent staff, and make that team with all the resources in the world competitive with Ohio State again.
All right, we'll get you out of here with this, buddy. And I know this is an area that you don't really care too much about, don't really pay attention to. But Ohio State just signed Quinn Ewers and Caleb Burton, the number one QB class of 2022. And I kid because we know this is what you're all about. You love the stars. Caleb Burton, number one wide receiver. Any thoughts? And is this just, They're making a mockery, seemingly, of this. Ryan Day, forget about picking up where Urban left off. Ari's taking it even higher.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that was going to happen. So, like, mark me down as surprised. You know, because Urban Meyer is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, recruiting coach in the history of the sport, at least in the modern era, in terms of innovation and results, especially in the national footprint. So to see Ryan Day potentially in position to sign the number one class in 2021 this year, which is something that Urban never did. And then in 2022 now has the beginning building pieces of what could be the best class of all time. You know, it's pretty staggering to see what they've done. So I have Stars Matter tattooed on my chest, and I'm thinking about putting it on my forehead. And I think that if you don't think that about the sport right now, then you're just on a different planet. So when you see the fact that Ohio State has four high-end quarterbacks between Jack Miller, C.J. Stroud, Kyle McCord, and now Quinn Ewers in four classes, and then they've got enough wide receiver talent, at least top 60 players, five-star legitimate players at that position, five or six of them in the last few classes. They have enough talent on their single roster in the last three classes to prop up an entire conference. And that's not even an exaggeration. So in terms of classes like this, this is the type of class where if you don't win a national championship, you don't succeed at what you're supposed to be doing. The same thing that happened with Ohio State 17 class. That was a similar class in terms of makeup. They got to the edge of the door. They didn't get through, but this is the type of thing that, you know, you sign two classes like this in a row, and if you don't win a national championship, it's an utter failure. I mean, they've got so much talent. And the fact that they're getting it out of Texas, here's a stat for you guys. Ohio State, dating back to the 2017 class, has seven commitments from five-star prospects out of the state of Texas, and Texas has four in their own state. Ohio State's coming into Texas and beating Texas for their own players. So, you know, in terms of Ohio, you've seen an uptick in talent in the state. You've seen Ohio State's borders increase, and they're dominating other areas that are traditionally in the history of the program haven't, you know, been exploited to this extent. So when you're wondering, hey, why is Ohio State gone from a top 10 program who wins a national championship every 7 to 10 years to one of the top three programs that's expected to win one every year regardless of turnover, this is your answer. This is why it's happening.
Well, Ari, from what I can gather, I don't think you need to, with as much exposure as your chest gets, I don't think you need to tattoo it on your forehead. You got plenty of exposure going.
Yeah. Your tarp's coming off after the show, boys.
All right. I like Bowling Green and the points tomorrow in hoops, by the way. Take the 14.5.
Okay, well, we need to hit something.
We got to hit something big. Let's go.
All right, guys.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one, Ari.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.